Promise number 30, and I'll read it 3 times. I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. Hebrews 13:5. I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. Hebrews 13:5. I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. Hebrews 13:5. I take delivery every day of the Wall Street Journal, and it's one of my post-dropping the kids at school, pre-diving into the work of the day personal rituals to make my way through its pages and read from its particular perspective. Typically, before the season in which I'm actually writing down these words, the writings would be an international melange of good and bad news, lots of interesting upsides, and to counterbalance, plenty of pretty bad downsides. But lately, with the world in the state it's in, with all the fear and uncertainty swirling around, with sides starting to arise about efficacies of treatment and realities of risk, I would describe my daily Wall Street Journal perusal as chaos, pandemonium, pure fear, with no ready answers in sight. As we prepare to finish our first 30 days together in these meditations upon his promises, may I redirect your attention for a minute or two? I want you to actually be where I'm talking about, in chaos, pandemonium, fear, but then I want you to understand how you can properly reorient your attentions. I want to show you a physical move you can literally make. I want to focus both our hearts, yours and mine, upon that promise I just read to you. So imagine it is night on the water. You are sitting in a 30-foot boat surrounded by vast seas. The stars sparkle overhead. The skies are mostly black. Just a few wisps of clouds catch the light of the moon. You are sitting forward on a bench, listening to the lap of the water against the hull of the boat. Around you sit the other friends with whom you launched the boat earlier, just before the arrival of sunset, twilight, dusk. Your state of mind is probably like the state of the mind of the Wall Street Journal's headlines before the pandemic, a mixture of basic ups and downs. Perhaps that day was good. You were feeling good. Perhaps that day was a little more rough. You're feeling down. Either way, your grown-up sense is telling you that regardless of today, tomorrow is still coming, that every day holds potential for upward change. You are thinking ahead to what the weekend will hold, or of that friend you'd like to see, or of that what just happened. Suddenly, you see, a contrary wind has fouled the sails, twirling them till they're nearly tearing of their own accord, and the seas around you are beginning to boil like you're floating in a witch's cauldron. The boom is swinging side to side. You and your friends are ducking, trying to stay below its out-of-control movements. Others are on their hands and knees with buckets and bowls, trying to bail the water over the side before more gets spit in. The sound of the wind is deafening. Water slaps against your face. Where just before your mood had been arranged within you in accordance with the past day, now it's moment to moment responding to new stimuli. Chaos, pandemonium, pure fear with no ready answers in sight. My friends, if you're tracking with the narrative moment from the gospel that I'm trying to bring to light in your imagination, then you also know the most cogent detail. Jesus asleep in the stern. And so imagine now you're looking over your shoulder, seeing him back there on the cushion, asleep, rolling and rising with the roll and rise of the storm swell. This is your moment of decision on that night. This is your moment of decision in the midst of a global crisis. Do you believe that, sleeping or not, visible or seemingly invisible, whether in bow or stern, the presence of Jesus is simply enough? Do you believe that his presence with you, storm or not, up or down, then or now, is absolutely all you need to transit this day? Do you believe in Jesus? And believing, whether you're in calm or chaos, wealth or lack, peace or fear, readiness or shock, what will you do next? Will you rush to the stern, shake him awake, accuse him of an uncaring sleepiness, and try to force his hand into the deliverance you think you require? I mean, will you shout in his face, "Jesus, don't you care that we're drowning?" When in truth, you haven't even started to begin to drown. You're still in the boat, aren't you? And you're looking into the face of Jesus. Or seeing the storm, feeling its fear, watching the ways of the men and women around you, can you set your sternward gaze on him and wait? Can you physically turn on the boat bench, throw your legs to the other side, and quietly study the contours of his face in the night? Can you call down deep for courage in his presence, waiting on him to awake and effect his plan? Can you believe in darkness what you claimed to believe in day? Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus right now? For imagine that suddenly, starting, he has shaken himself awake, out of his back of the boat sleep, and he rises to seated upon that cushion. Curious, he watches all the chaos, wind, water, waves, and then he's watching all the movements of the others. They're shouting, crying, bailing, wailing. They're seeming answers to the chaos, pandemonium, fear. Well, now he has locked eyes with you. You are bow to stern, totally engaged with him. And even amidst the sounds of storm, splashing, tearing, banging, screaming, howling, crashing, you can hear what he says to you. I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. And his eyes ask, "Do you believe me?"